Our first scripture is Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 through and including verse 29. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you'll be clean. I'll cleanse you from all your iniquities and from all your idols. I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I'll be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanliness. I will call for the grain and make it plentiful, and will not bring famine upon you. And then in Matthew 27, verses 45 through 53. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone, and let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died there were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. A prayer request for tonight. We are...
So, before we go there and talk about Sunday morning, you know, you must have realized that this text that Pastor DK read was about the crucifixion. You know, was that moment when Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross. And there's something that I want to call your attention for there that's really important on the text that we read. So, but the first question, or the question that many people may ask, is why did Jesus need to face a death on the cross? Why the King of Kings, the King of this universe, right, need to die on that cross? And throughout the Spirit, the Scriptures, through the Spirit, yes, God makes clear the divine necessity of the cross. It had to happen. It was His purpose since the beginning, and there was no other way. You can be assured if there had been one, another way to do that, God would have provided it. So, we, men and women, we don't understand how serious sin is. Because once we do, you know, we will search for a solution for it. Sin is responsible for eternal death and human's misery away from God. We can see in our world today, right? The consequences of sin, we don't need to go too far. Most of the time we go and think, what is going on? It doesn't make sense. And truly, it doesn't make sense. So, and people wonder how we came to be in this terrible world situation. You know, they continue to kick the Lord away. They want nothing to do with Him, and they wonder, what's going on? What's happening? Ezekiel there, the text that we read from verses 25 to 29 in chapter 36, we see how beautiful is God's promise to set His people free and give them a land. And He is talking also about the eternal land, the eternal place that we will inherit in one day. So in this text in Ezekiel is just one of many examples in the Bible that shows how God was preparing the way to fulfill His plan in Jesus Christ, to bring His people back to Him. We don't understand the severity of sin, how it impairs and hurts us, but God does. That's why He needed and planned to give us a permanent solution for sin. Before Christ, in order to be forgiven from sin, people need to offer a pure, spotless, perfect animal as a cleansing sacrifice. That could be done only by one person, the high priest, which was the only one who could enter the holy place in the temple. It was necessary, as 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 says, for Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The cross was inevitable. It was God's plan since the beginning. Do you understand how serious the cross of Jesus Christ was? God gave His spotless Son to die on the cross and take upon Himself the sin, all the sin of the entire world. Can you imagine the heaviness of those of that sin? Can you grasp how hurtful that was for God Himself to see His Son suffering the way He did? In Matthew 27, Jesus endured this suffering and abuse for 3 hours, from 9 in the morning to noon. Then at noon, an even worse torture fell upon Jesus Christ. What happened? The Father turned His back on His own Son. So that perfect communion of eternity past until that very moment was broken. The Father, in essence, had to say, I don't know you, to His own Son. The King had been betrayed and denied by Judas and all the rest of His friends, all His disciples, by the shepherds of His people, and even by the Roman authorities. So now He was left alone by His own Father. At that point, He began to bear the separation from God of punishment for a world of sins. This 3-hour period was pitch dark, that creation itself became dark as well. From noon to 3 p.m., that 3-hour period, that's normally the brightest and hottest time of the day, the darkness covered the land. Creation mourned its Creator's spiritual death and turned its back on Him. And the Father now turned away from Him because the sin He became. You know, in God, that community was broken because as Christ was carrying the sin of the world, He couldn't be in the presence of His Father, who is holy. So, 2 Corinthians 5 says, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. God wanted us to clearly understand the significance of Jesus Christ on the cross that was revealed in these Aramaic words. And I did a research on that, and some manuscripts bring it like Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Messiah was completely alone, bearing the guilt of all sinners. It was an unbearable pain and an indescribable abandonment. He was completely alone, carrying all the pain that sin could bring to him. About 3 p.m., near the end of that 3 hour period of true darkness, Jesus cried out these words, the desperate cry of an abandoned son to his father, and John chapter 19, verse 30 records that for us. Christ said, or cried out, "It is finished. Done." With that, as his final act on that Passover Friday afternoon, the Messiah gave up his life. The King proved sovereign even over the timing of his own death. This loud cry was a shout of triumphal completion. So, in verse 51 on Matthew 27, Matthew says, "At that moment." At that very moment, it draws our attention to the sign God provided, testifying to their reality. An earthquake. The dead were raised to life, and the tear of the curtain in the temple. And we'll focus our attention for a few minutes on this last event, the curtain. In the temple, the Holy of Holies was the innermost sanctuary, the place where the Ark of the Covenant rested and where the presence of God was said to abide. This place was so sacred that only once a year, on the Day of the Atonement, only one man, the high priest, was allowed to enter. He offered the blood of a special sacrifice to atone for the sins of all Israel. The room outside the Holy of Holies was called the Holy Place. Between the two rooms hung a curtain about 3.5 inches thick. You know, like I would say about this thick, right? Separating all of humanity at that point from the presence of God. Again, nobody could come, nobody was authorized to come to that place if not the high priest. At the moment of Jesus Christ's death on the cross, that thick curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. And we cannot say, people cannot say that was just a coincidence. No, a curtain thick like that will only be torn down because of an act of God. God did that. And by doing it, God opened the way for anyone to come into His holy presence. Now people would have access to His presence through the sacrifice of the Messiah. So, during centuries of Israel's existence, it was unheard of for common people to consider approaching God. The penalty for such arrogance was death. But now, God was inviting anyone to approach Him. God was inviting people to come to His presence for the first time. Provision had been made for God to accept sinful humans as forgiven, have been made as righteous through the sacrifice of His Son. So we would now have direct access to God the Father. We would be able to experience a personal relationship with Him. So Jesus needed to go through that horrible sacrifice. Now, all His disciples from back then, and we as His disciple now, today here understand that need. We understand why the Messiah needed to die on the cross. So, was that it? Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross, and was it all done? Without the cross, there would be no Christianity. Sin brought eternal death, and the only way to overcome the death would be Jesus Christ, a sinless man, to offer himself as a living sacrifice, so death would lose its grip on humanity, its victory over humanity. From Friday afternoon, things looked really bad until Sunday morning. And we know that what happens with the disciples, they are all discouraged. They couldn't believe that the Messiah was dead. Right? They were facing some dark time. We would not understand the need of the cross if it wasn't for Sunday morning. So Matthew 28, I'll read some verses here. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus Christ who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you see him. Now I have told you." So the woman, they could not believe, right? They are in awe. Not only the tomb was empty, but that heavenly celestial being came to tell them the good news. So they hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to the disciples. But something else happened. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him. Immediately they clasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." What a beautiful passage this is. You know, we serve a risen Messiah. These verses in Matthew 28 served as proof to the two women, the disciples, believers of all ages in the entire world, that Jesus Christ was alive. This implies that every person in the world is accountable to a living Lord and will one day answer to him, either as Savior or as judge. As the woman arrived at the tomb here, they saw only the aftermath of what the angel had done. The stone that would have taken several men to move was nothing to this mighty being. After he had rolled away the stone, he just sat on it. This symbolized God's conquest over all barriers to do his will. So, that stone did not need to be moved, for Jesus emerged from the tomb. As his resurrected body was capable of traveling through walls and closed doors. So the resurrected Christ was not confined by natural barriers. No, He could not be contained. There was no way. Rather, that stone was rolled away so others could look and look inside and witness the empty tomb. That was for us, humans. So there will be no refutation that the tomb was empty because the witnesses saw it with their own eyes and even visited the empty tomb. So the angel invited them, come inside and check yourselves, he's not here. So the women were also terrified by the appearance of the brilliant being sitting on the stone. Not as the soldiers were, but they were terrified. The angel told them, do not be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. Jesus will forever be known as the crucified one. The salvation he gave us through his death, the victory he won, and the obedience he displayed will stand for eternity. That angelical voice then announced, he is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. He definitely encouraged them to go inside the empty tomb. Now, can you imagine their enthusiasm to be the first one to experience it? And I would say there was a reason why God decided to show it first to women. Because men like myself would go there and said, the tomb is empty, Christ is risen, you know, and would leave. The women would take about 5,000 words to explain the scene that they're seeing that. Right? Yeah, lots of details, important details, by the way. So the woman didn't need to be told twice to go quickly. Imagine their excitement to go and tell the others, tell the disciples. Nowadays, we would just take a picture or a video and post it on social media. Right? The options back then were very limited to their personal reports. So they need to run and share what they had seen there. They could not wait to tell the others what they had seen and experienced. Filled with enthusiasm, they were compelled to leave the tomb, afraid of what they had just experienced, and drawn on by great joy at the unbelievable news they had heard. They run to tell Jesus Christ, to tell the disciples. That was not all. Along the way, they stopped shortly. Suddenly, Jesus, the risen King himself, met them and said, greetings. Imagine the woman's awe as they approached him. They fell to the ground, held his feet, and with reverence, they worshipped him. The picture is one of speechless wonder, mixed with an overwhelming adoration. You know, I don't know about you, but I would have no words to express the joy that I had in my heart. And again, the Lord Jesus Christ told them, do not be afraid. Tell my brothers to go to Galilee. Wow. Now the women went on their way with even more to tell. Right? Jesus Christ himself had spoken to them. How wonderful was that? They not only had a heavenly visitor who reported Jesus' resurrection and had shown them proof, but the King Jesus himself had appeared to them. So on that cross, God dealt with all the damage that sin has done, all the damage that sin can do, and all that sin really is. When someone surrenders their lives to Jesus Christ as their Savior, God puts a seal over their lives saying, paid in full, redeemed, restored, right? Rescued. And nothing in this world can remove that. So the resurrection changed everything. Jesus was alive. The sin that separated us from God had a cure now. The blood that Jesus Christ shed on that cross brought the victory over death. Once for all, there was a solution for the death caused by sin. Nothing else needed to be done to restore the situation between man and God. Christ paid a huge price with his own life, so death could have no grip on us anymore. Do you know what's the price that you need to pay to receive the victory that Christ conquered through his suffering on that rugged cross? Nothing. In fact, zero, nada, niente, rien, rien de tout. Okay? That costs us nothing. Christ paid the whole bill. He paid it all. I said before, without the cross, there will be no Christianity. And without the resurrection, there will be no Christianity. You may have heard of Lee Strobel in his book, The Case for Christ. It's a well-known book, right? He shares his experience as an atheist, trying to prove that the resurrection did not exist. Here is his conclusion on the matter. Disproving the resurrection wasn't easy. In fact, it was impossible. My research caused me to realize the case for the resurrection of Jesus is powerful and persuasive. That evidence led me to my own faith in Jesus Christ. And in the years since that investigation, I have been helping other Christians understand how we can have confidence in the biblical accounts of the resurrection. Amen? So, the proof was there for the woman. The proof was there for the soldiers as well, even though they were bribed to lie, but they couldn't, right? The resurrection of Jesus Christ changed everything. So, that Friday afternoon, death was so happy. The devil, he was so happy because he had won. The Messiah was dead, right? But Sunday morning had a different story. So, Jesus Christ, we are invited by Jesus Christ to join the work that he's doing in his kingdom. So, if you do believe in Jesus Christ and everything he has done for you, what are you doing about it? Let me rephrase that. So if you believe in Jesus Christ and the freedom that he gave you, the price that he paid on that cross for your life, what are you doing about it? I want you to reflect on that. I want to finish with a quick story here. quick illustration. A young boy was walking by the seashore, where thousands of little fish brought by the high tide were trying to get back into the water. You know what they do? They just jump desperately because they need to go back, otherwise they will die. As there were thousands of them, you know, this young boy was getting one by one and throwing it back to the ocean. A man, watching the effort of that little boy, told him, "There are too many of them. That will not make any difference." The little boy looked at the fish on his hand. It made a difference for this one, and threw it back into the water. We are invited by Christ to make a difference in someone's life. People are in desperation looking for a solution for their lives, but they don't know where to find. Like little fish, they're trying to get back to their environment, you know, where they can survive. You know, and there are too many out there that don't have the hope that we have. And Christ invites us to share with them one by one. You know, we can make a difference in one life, and we'll praise God for that life, because that life will make a difference in another life. Right? I want to encourage you, because there's power in your story. There's power in what Christ has done to rescue you. Okay? As it's your story, no one can refute it. No one can argue with you, because it's the truth that happened for you. So I would encourage you to share your story. The women were really excited about the news they got on a Sunday morning. They could not hold it back. We know what Jesus Christ has done for us and what He can do for people to redeem and restore their lives. He's the only one that can do something to save them. As we know that, we cannot hold it back. We are invited by Jesus Christ to join Him and share the gospel, share the good news of salvation. So knowing that, how do we go about sharing the hope Christ has given us? I hope you feel challenged by what Christ conquered to you, for you on that cross. I hope you will feel encouraged to share with others, share with those who have no idea what they are looking for. But it will make sense for them once we tell them the true story that's in the Bible. So, and as well, I want to challenge those who have not surrendered their lives to Christ here tonight. I don't know where you are, but Christ is inviting you, you know, to a place in eternity that only He can give you. So we will all rejoice one day in heaven, and I hope you will be there. If you have not invited Jesus Christ to come to your life, please, 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 don't waste another second, another minute. Okay? Do that. Pray and invite Him to come to your life. And again, if you need help to do that, we'd love to help you. Reach out. Okay? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You, Father, for the amazing way that you, Lord, had decided to restore humanity, Lord, to restore us, to give us access to you, Father. We thank you because it was a perfect plan, Lord, completed in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, Father. We praise you, Lord, because of Sunday morning, Lord. We praise you because we saw the victory and we understand the victory. We understand why Jesus Christ needed to suffer. Father, it was just temporary. But what Jesus Christ has conquered, Father, has its effect for eternity. Father God, I ask you, Lord, to enable each one of us here, Father, to share the victory that Jesus Christ conquered on that cross with those that you, Lord, will bring to our lives. Father, and we ask that your Holy Spirit will be preparing them to hear what you have done for them. Thank you, Lord. We praise your name and thank you for the victory that you gave us. By the power and precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.